So I think we skip summer because it's kind of cold in New York City today. A welcomed transition, slight transition to autumn, and I'm sure it's going to change the next day or so after all this hot and humidity. But you know what? My wife says it's not good for her hair, so I want the humidity to kind of, you know, stay where it was or is right now on the lesser side, because she's happy, I'm happy, right? By the way, my name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight. This is the Progressive Radio Network. How you doing? Happy Thursday. Hey, if you're in New Jersey, and if you're not, well, you're even better off than I am. But if you are, know that it's New Jersey Day. What does that mean? Who cares? But it just bears worth mentioning, because former Governor Corzine decided to make that proclamation a while back, and very significant because it means diddly squat. We got an incredible show coming your way. And I don't just say that because it's just hyperbole, but this is really an action-packed show. Yeah, I got a great guest on. She lost her son to suicide 7 years ago, and she's here today to talk about an incredible story that her family and many, many families unfortunately have to deal with. Her daughter, incredible, creative daughter, made a film about this, so we're going to be discussing this. And we're also going to be meeting a woman who founded a wellness music festival that's going in its seventh year, that's happening this Saturday in where else but New Jersey, of course. But until we get to those incredible stories, I want to air some grievances I have. One of them is a very, very serious one that I just couldn't believe I heard yesterday and read, actually, via Donald Trump's tweets. First of all, I just have 2 points on this, and I'm not going to belabor the point because it's still kind of new. The information's still coming out, but basically, you know, wanting to ban transgenders in all military capacities, I think number one is it's incorrect, because number one, I've read stories up to this, even prior to this announcement, that the major issue that apparently happens in the service, that women in the service are more of a burden. And when I say burden, they say inconvenience, because I guess maybe there's separate changing areas or latrines or things of that nature. So understandable to a certain degree. But listen, the reality is, if these people want to sign on a dotted line and put their life on the line for our country, I don't care if you're purple, because that is the love and passion people have for this country. And that's incredible. So that's the thing, is number one. So if that's really the deal, because we don't really know, because our president, number 45, announced yesterday via tweet, which is, I think, kind of cool and not cool, because it's kind of cool that you have connection, immediate connection with the chief and commander in chief. But on the other hand, you know, he shoots from the hip big time. Big time. What was it, on Wednesday? He shot out 7 tweets before 7 a.m. So it things like I think he dreams about his tweets. And secondly, regarding this seems like a very, very sudden decision that no one was discussed about this on a staff. So there's no, in terms of fallout, in terms of the thousands, tens of thousands of people, men and women who are in the military right now, transgenders, individuals that have no idea of their destiny. Are they grandfathered in? Like, who knows? I mean, so his staff, it just looks like, obviously, we know there's no cohesiveness with his staff. The turnover is quicker than the front counter at McDonald's. yes, I will take fries with that, by the way. And the other thing is, the other second point is, you know, again, if somebody feels so impassioned to go on the front line or whatever it is in the military, as I just kind of alluded to this before, to sign up, spend 2-4 years or a lifetime of service, 20 plus years, and they are obviously born, medical science has decided and proven many times over that people just don't decide that they're transgender or they're born this way. And who are we to kind of speak about how someone else feels because they are battling something all their life? And this morning, as I billboarded in the beginning of the show, there are lots of things that people are born with that we don't have any control of, over, our DNA, mental health, how tall we are, how we think. Oh my God, there's countless, our blood type, our eye color, hair color. I mean, there's so many things that we have no control over. But things of that nature, I think, just are really, really disappointing. And it's absurd when just over, I think it was a year and a half, that Obama instituted that transgender Americans are welcome. So I want to see the evidence. You know, when the president tweets this, I mean, say, okay, look for the evidence. Here's the evidence. It's costing us $4 million extra a year, or the problems with the being in a foxhole with someone who's of transgender makeup. I mean, so give us something. Just don't say that, you know, it was discussed with generals and the top brass, because I think that's a cop-out. Because we can say that, arguing safely to say that a lot of military guys, and this is a very, very generalized statement, are of traditional backgrounds and of thought, meaning not of modern thought. I think that's kind of a safe thing to say, right? I mean, you guys are listeners of the Progressive Radio Network, so you're probably certainly a liberal thinking of the left. But I think if you had to poll the majority of all the services, I would say, and give me a show of hands in a control room if you agree with this, 60-70% of the population who serve our country are probably Republicans. What do you think, guys? Yeah, they're on the phone. And the other one's looking at, oh, he's buying something on Amazon. When can that get delivered? I'm just kidding. But I think that's a reality. Anyway, I'm disappointed. I'm really disappointed because, number one, I think he's just doing this because he has the authority to, and not because he's really passionate about it. I think he's just a very unhappy person in an incredibly powerful position, and he can do things like this. And he's really, really disenchanted with Congress because he's not getting his repeal. He wants his replacement, but he's not even getting the repeal. Thankfully. So I just had to get that off my chest. And the other major, major important thing that I just lost sleep over was this. Peter Frampton. Yeah, remember that album cover? Frampton Comes Alive? Well, Peter Frampton came unglued. This is crazy. You know, Peter, I love you. I even drove out to Long Island once to see you. But when you're on the stage doing your guitar solo, and the cameraman who's giving the camera feed to the audience so they can see you when you're in nosebleed seats isn't pointed on you, it's not because they're disrespecting you. It's because they're showing audience members and how happy they are to see you. So don't get so, so embroiled and get into a scuffle with the cameraman. So that's what happened. It's a poor, poor situation out in, where was this? Treasure Island. It happened, I think, on Wednesday night. He was opening for the Steve Miller Band, one of my favorite bands. If you haven't seen them live, do yourself a favor and definitely buy that ticket. They're always touring sometime of the year, somewhere in this world. So a fan named Sherry Tupa is very, very crestfallen right now because she was in like the first few rows, and she has that iconic album cover of Frampton Comes Alive. We all know it. And she's fanning herself with it because it was hot. So I guess the cameraman on stage saw this. And so all of a sudden she looks up and she sees herself on the Jumbotron. So rightfully so, she turns the album cover around. So obviously she brought it to be seen, maybe to be noticed by Peter Frampton, be brought up on stage and do a little like dancing in a dark Bruce Springsteen style. Who knows? Anyway, so he got so disenchanted with this and pissed off. He said something to the cameraman. I think it was basically, fuck you, because what I read, we're allowed to curse on this network. My first guess is like, you can't do that. I was practicing not saying any expletives. My husband was saying, don't curse, whatever you do, you can say it. Anyway, so he goes backstage. Yes, right. After the tune, after his guitar solo, he storms off stage. And apparently he, I guess, spoke to his management and said, listen, kill the feeds. Kill the camera feeds. So he came back out and had a little bit of a tussle again with the cameraman. The poor camera guy is probably going to have PTSD and be afraid. He probably had to, like, put the camera down and not cover Steve Miller Band because he was afraid he was going to get, you know, jokered or something. But I guess things happen. I mean, you know, people have bad days, but why would you do that? I mean, I don't get it. I don't know. What do you know? Anyway, always love your input. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. It's about 10 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock in New York City. Mark Farrell, the show's Insight. And I'm happy to bring on to the show a woman who I met in a very, very, I don't even remember how I met her. It was a very unusual way, but it was serendipitous. After Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, and that was probably in 06? Oh, geez, I don't remember. No, it wasn't that long ago. Sooner than that. Anyway, we'll find out. Somehow I got connected with this incredible woman who was organizing a day to give Christmas presents to all the families, more importantly, children, that were displaced by Superstorm Sandy. And she organized countless trucks. All I know, she said, here's it sounds like a bad Craigslist meeting gone wrong, right? She's like, okay, meet me at the Parkway exit number so-and-so, and we'll meet there, and, you know, we'll start going down the Jersey Shore to all these towns, and we should be done. I don't know when we'll be done. I said, okay, well, spoiler alert, I brought my Santa Claus outfit because, I'm not the real Santa Claus, but I have one, and I figured I would just, you know, put it to good use and use it for charity purposes. So here I am on the side of a rest stop, Jersey Parkway, and I meet this woman who's delightful, and next thing you know, we spend hours upon hours upon hours into the nightfall embracing families that were so just sad about what happened. But these trucks pulled up, and the back doors of these trucks rolled up, and mouths were agape because they saw the presence. They saw this too tall Santa Claus trying to do his best imitation of the big jolly guy heading towards them and just giving hugs and kisses and love and lots of gifts. And I'll never, ever forget that image. It's burned into my mind, and I'm sure it's burned into the mind of the founder of Sensational Music and Wellness Festival. We're talking about Michelle Leonard. Michelle, how are you? Remember that day?
I do. It was absolutely phenomenal. Thank you for having me today, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure.
It was a moment in time. We collected about 100,000 toys. We filled a gymnasium. And to have that opportunity to go out and to meet some of those families and deliver these presents was phenomenal. It was an incredible feat for all of us to make happen.
Obviously, you're not here to talk about that today, but what was the inception of that idea?
Sandy Man?
Correct.
So Superstorm Sandy had hit, and we decided to get together. All of a sudden, I said, we got to do something. So where could we fill a void that needs to happen? We had already been, you know, working in trenches and working in some of the rescue shelters. And we were like, okay, well, you know, Christmas will be here before we know it. Let's just start putting this together. And it just came together one moment after that. We had presents being delivered for weeks before we were filling up U-Haul storage areas.
It was a magical event, Michelle, and good for you. And that speaks volumes about who you are and the size of your heart and the business and the lifestyle that you lead.
Yes, I try to live a full lifestyle, and I always try to do what we can do to reach out and help others. And that's how Sensational itself was actually born too, is to reach out to other people and break down any economic barriers, because it is a completely free event.
And not only that, but it's just a lifestyle to embrace and or to go and kind of check it out. Because, I mean, I always say, like, yoga is my dessert workout, because I have to have the main courses, you know, my cardio, my weights and all that other jazz. But yoga, you know, you don't need money. You can do it anywhere. And all these things, you know, in terms of just eating right, in terms of leading a great example as a parent. Taking your kids to events where, you know, like I went to the opening last night of Monmouth County Fair. And God bless the Monmouth County Fair. I love it. It's a great tradition. Fireworks and everything. But everywhere you look around, Michelle Leonard, I was thinking of you because I'm like, hot sausage and peppers, ice cream. I bought a lemonade that I probably could have used by the dunk tank because it was so big. But I mean, just there's no healthy options on fairgrounds such as that. And it's a great introduction.
Right. and absolutely. So to have these options out here, yes, we do have the typical family favorites. We do. But we have the options. You have the options to get a fresh juice. You have the options to get a smoothie. You have the option to get a bowl of yogurt with fresh fruit. There's gluten-free options. There's vegetarian options. There's vegan options. All the options are here. But, you know, but we also have those some of those family favorites and, you know, and a beer tent.
Whoa. Not only is it a beer tent, but there's two words I never thought I'd put in the same sentence. Organic beer.
Organic beer. They are out there. Organic beer is available and gluten-free. Beer
and gluten-free. Can you still get a buzz off it, though? That's my question.
Yeah, don't worry. You definitely can.
Okay. So listen, it's a day. Absolutely. And unfortunately, my condolences for you because you signed up a host that who's going to be a complete goofball, funny man, and hopefully audience pleaser. So if
no,
you're in...
I am so lucky. I am so blessed to have your presence on stage. I feel like I'm the one who's been given a huge gift just to have you there. I am actually not really good at being on stage. So to have that person, you know, there for me, I really appreciate it.
My complete pleasure. Because, you know, as your tagline is, it's about uniting hope, health, and happiness through yoga,
absolutely,
through free massage, through classes, through organic food, music. There's a lot of great local bands that people know. Check out the website. It is soulsational.info. Soulsational.info. And log on. Check it out. It's Bayville, New Jersey, this Saturday, July 29th, 11 a.m. until 7 or so.
Yep, it will probably close. The last band should finish around 7:30 p.m. And then also at 7:30 p.m., we start the drum circle.
Oh, drums. Oh, really? I've never actually attended a live drum circle. Is there any way I can play the drum? Because I actually kind of...
Absolutely.
I love it.
It's right up front, so you and I can jump in if we want.
Beautiful. And I think the actual day is not going to end until the organic beer is fully tapped.
I agree. So bring all your audience listening people, come on down. Let's do this.
Excellent. And finally, it is a family fun event that regardless of age, it's totally welcoming and embracing of complete families, correct?
Absolutely. We have a complete kids village. There's some ponies out here. There's inflatables. There are things to do from the moment you get here to the moment you leave. There are three tents full of free classes. There's no reason to go home. I tell families to come out and bring a beach tent and a beach blanket and stay all day.
Well said. I can't top it. Michelle, it's going to be a banner day and a beautiful day weather-wise, and we're going to have incredible crowds for a Soulsational Music and Wellness Festival happening this Saturday in Bayville, New Jersey. Check it out, and I'll see you there. And thanks so much for your time, and get back to pumping up those organic beer kegs.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Okay. Cheers. Insight on the Progressive Radio Network continues right after this. You know, Dunkin' Donuts and Munchkins will get you far in life, right, Kelsey? Our engineer and very, very capable production assistant. She wears multiple hats here. Unbeknownst to me, she was hungry today, and I just grabbed a couple extra Munchkins because I needed to pop a few in my mouth because I was up at 4 a.m. this morning, and she does a magnificent job. So thank you to Kelsey for always being there. My name is Mark Farrell. This show's Insight. Happy Thursday to you. It's Friday Eve. Yay! In the summer. Can you believe July's almost gone? It's a sad thing because, you know, my theory is once July 4th here is start kissing the summer goodbye because August is like, it's just like Frank Sinatra says, you know, summer wind, it just days go by so fast. Anyway, as you know, if you are avid PRN Insight listener, I talk about a lot of different things here because I share these topics with audiences nationally about overcoming adversity, anti-bullying, drugs and alcohol, all these different things that I've experienced in life. Some of them I brought on myself, like the drugs and alcohol. I'm not battling them at all, right? I'm really drinking tea in this cup right now. But there's some things certainly I was kind of forced into, like the loss of my brother, Michael Farrell, 25 years ago. He took his life. He died by suicide. And after that, thankfully, I don't even know how, but we got involved with an organization within a week or two, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, an incredible organization that supports education and research. They've done a tremendous job nationally. They're known internationally. And so, as you know, that I'm very, very close. I've facilitated groups, spoken at conferences. As a matter of fact, I'm speaking at another conference this coming I believe it's the weekend before Thanksgiving in New Jersey. Anyway, so my mother was the chair of New Jersey chapter. Each, just like a lot of organizations, have chapters for each state. And she's the chair of New Jersey, and she started a walk in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Long story short, I would go there and be the MC, play music, make this walk fun because it's a day of, you know, kind of reflection, but also a day of positivity. Because I make these events fun because I hate it when people get up and stand, no matter what the cause is, and make it doom and gloom. No. People don't, you had to kind of pull people out of their shell just to come to an event like this. And also they had to dig into their pocketbooks and wallets. So make it fun. So that's what I do. So a few years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Lisa Sprigg, and she unfortunately lost her incredible son, handsome son, smart and creative son, Jordan, 7 years ago, and she joins me today. Lisa, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
You look great.
Thank you.
Team JoJo, as I quickly got to know you as, because was that your son's nickname, JoJo?
My youngest son, Sean, who is 12 now, couldn't say Jordan, so I called him JoJo.
You know, I love stories like that because my brother, who died, his name is Mike, Michael. For some reason, I call him Goggles. Goggles, Mike, I have no idea. But anyway, it's kind of a cute story. And that's just one of the other cute things that you can think about. Obviously, with a devastating loss such as that, he was in college, Rutgers mm-hmm. University, mm-hmm. The oldest of six. First of all, that's a whole nother topic. Six kids. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
crazy.
My God. Woo. You are a kind soul. You and your husband, Rob, just great people. And you're there at the event time and time again. And it was such a pleasure to get to know you. You've raised so much money. And have done so much to create education and awareness through different events and through another organization, Samaritans in New York City. And I believe, is it Alan Ross who's the head of that?
Yes.
Alan Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was watching, we're going to get to this in a moment, but I was watching him last night. And I believe I was on a TV show once with him.
Really?
Yeah, I just remembered seeing this. Probably about 10 years ago, we did a segment on one of the early morning Saturday shows. But anyway, you're here for two reasons. Talk about suicide. In a family sense and also in a macro sense, because this is something we've both been catapulted into. I mean, whoever thought our lives trajectory would involve sitting here with two microphones in front of us talking about the loss of a family member. And my loss is loss. But when you're the parent and a natural order is turned around, there's nothing like that. But you've done a lot of good about this. And your daughter, Kate, mm-hmm. came to you, I guess, one day and either asked or said to you and Rob, your husband, I want to make a movie about Jordan, my brother.
Right.
How did that go? Please tell us.
It was last spring. It was spring 2016. And Katie had to do her master's thesis for NYU. And she came to me with this idea, and it actually morphed several times. It was going to be more about, I think, bullying initially. And so that was in March or April, and I was concerned because I was afraid it would kind of pull her back into this world, which, you know, is always nipping at your heels a little bit. And she just kind of ran with it, and I think it was really cathartic for her. And then once, you know, she kind of had her ideas in place, and then this past fall we pretty much had a camera in the house. We felt like our own little mini reality TV show. And
far from the Kardashians, believe me.
Oh, far. And
thankfully.
Yes. And that's really how it went. And you know, I think, and I am her mother, but I think she's incredibly talented, and that's pretty much what we've been hearing. But the film really captures, I feel, what we've tried to project, which is, you know, through adversity, coming back from adversity and surviving.
Resiliency, sure.
And the resiliency of life and children and everything.
And what happens with a family when the immediacy, the immediate after, the outcome, some families drift apart. Understandably, there's blame, there's sorrow. There's so many different ways, and no way is right or wrong, of coping with loss.
Right.
Especially when someone dies by suicide. The name of the movie is called Our Brother, Jordan, and it was produced and shot by Kate Sprague in 2016, and it won the Hollywood Independent Documentary Award. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
It's so well done.
And very touching.
She just graduated with her master's, I believe, in...
documentary film.
Journalism. Very, very talented. She was there at the walk, the one I was alluding to that you've been a part of, you and your family, Rob and your other siblings, not siblings, your offspring. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, this is what I'm doing. And I thought that was such a great idea. And, you know, yeah, I never underestimate the power of youth and her capability with technology nowadays. But when I had the pleasure of watching this movie, it made me feel like a family member. Like that's how close and intimate it was, because obviously she lost her older brother. She thought the world of him. And also we learn in a movie, I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts, that they made movies as kids. And that was so cute. And that's almost like a final gift she can give to you guys, certainly, and to Jordan, which is so well done. And the fact that she's obviously the executive producer, director, cinematographer. Obviously, she has help shooting the film because she's in it at certain points. But more importantly, her voices. She's a narrator. And she captures the feel, the vibe. It's palpable, the good times, and captures more certainly of the tumultuous times, including the day of. When you got the phone call that when you were at your house in New Jersey, along the shore, that he didn't show up for work.
Right.
And even just the technological, creative aspects of how things were cut away. And even if she didn't have that capacity, it's just so well done, the storytelling. But she took it a step further. And just the way it was naturally, like, I remember exactly when my brother died. I was there. The first one to ID him, make all those phone calls. I had to tell my mother. I mean, I'll never forget the sound of her voice. I'll never forget the sound of my sister's voice. They've never made those sounds in their life in front of me, and I'll never hear that sound again. And I can hear it like it was just yesterday. So we all have those moments, just like where were you when JFK died? But there's nothing that tops anything besides a phone call, like a phone call that your son has died. Talk about that moment, please, if you can.
Actually, the way it happened, it was a great day at the beach. We were with friends.
There's not a bad day at the beach,
no,
is there?
No, and it was a particularly beautiful day at the beach. And we had come back up, and Katie called and said, Jordan, I heard from Jordan's boss, and he had not shown up for work. And I looked at my watch, and I thought, that's really odd. And you know, before you're touched by something like this, you don't go to worst-case scenario. So my first thought was, I'm going to kill that kid. You know, he overslept. You know, just that's how the old Lisa thought prior to July 31st, 2010. And I went to call. I said, oh, don't worry, Katie, I'll find him. You know, I got this. And I tried to call him, and I tried to call him, and I couldn't get him. And I tried to call Rob, who was out with Sean getting food for dinner. And
your husband?
Yes, my husband, Rob. And unfortunately, as I'm calling him, I hear his phone go off on the kitchen counter. So I thought, okay, well, he doesn't have his phone. And we're an hour away from our home when we're at the beach. So I called my mother, and I asked my mother if she could just run over to the house with my father and see what the story was. And that's pretty much I waited 5 minutes, and she called back, and I could tell from the hysterical sound in her voice that there was something really bad. And so I knew before the kids knew. But I didn't really know because I refused to talk to my mother until Rob was back, because I knew it was so bad that I had to have him there.
Sure. Understandable. I mean, you need your rock.
Mm-hmm.
He needed you as well. And I mean, it's one of those moments and times that obviously are embedded in your brain. And the only thing you can do is make it positive. I mean,
right.
We can never stop anyone from taking their life. I think it's impossible to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think through education, things of that nature. I mean, look at the two musicians in the last 6 months that have died. Chris Cornell, number one, and I'm just spacing on the other one from the other day. It'll come to me. Anyway,
Lincoln
Chester
Park, right?
From Lincoln Park. I mean, he left behind four kids.
Six kids. Yeah.
So, unfathomable. But, so let's go back a few steps, because like my brother, Mike, we knew there was an issue. He was depressed for, I think, a very short time, 3 months. He went into a hospital, et cetera, et cetera. He got out. Doctor said he was okay. Okay, great. He's on medication. Now, for you and Rob, that there was a similar situation in terms of, I guess there was, he was forthcoming saying that he was depressed. Mm. And you said, let's get help.
Yeah. He, you know, the tough thing about this whole thing is, it, Jordan being the first, we kind of cut our teeth on every stage with Jordan, you know. So he just kind of wasn't himself in the beginning of June, and I had to push him. I had to really kind of push him to speak, and he admitted he was feeling, you know, some depression, and so, you know, I called the doctor and got him in right away. I asked him if he wanted me to go, but he was turning 20. I didn't want to be one of those moms.
Sure.
You know, trying to let him be a young man.
You want to be an enabler as well, but of course right. You want to be there for him and help him.
Exactly. And he came back and he said, oh, you know, he gave me some Paxil. And he said, I'm a little depressed, but no big deal. Like, no red flags really at this point. And within 2 weeks, Jordan was very much back to himself.
So you and your husband, Rob, thought, wow, this is great.
Oh, you yeah. once again, you know, yeah. like when you have six kids, you're a fixer. Hmm. So it's like, okay, well, that's
exactly.
done. On to the next. You know, Jordan's back to Jordan. He was so excited to go back to Rutgers. You know, I say it's like teenage crib death, because I didn't see this coming. He was a happy kid. He was happy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can tell from all the interviews and your children, with the stories and the great fond memories. But there's so many stories of that. I mean, my brother and countless stories of people that we've met. And I mean, obviously, we're semi-experts now in the field,
unfortunately.
Right? Without any initials after our names. But I mean, that's what happens, unfortunately. But, you know, we did the right thing. You know, you got Jordan help. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But unfortunately, with mental illness, there's no sure or cure-all for anything. And just like anything else, people wear masks.
They hide it.
They do hide it.
Yeah.
Because it's a shame, because they think it's a weakness.
That's right.
But I understand that actually even more so than I would ever realize, because a bunch of years after my brother died, that I started feeling anxiety, panic attacks, and then went into depression, because that's how the chemistry happens. So I always felt that if this is an inkling of what my brother felt, I could almost understand. But I was so resilient. I would call it the, I had a name for it. But I was like, not going to let it win.
Yeah.
I had the beast. It's called the beast. I'm like, I'm not going to let the beast win. I dragged myself to work and I just did whatever I could. But, you know, everyone has different makeups. You know, not everyone is as tough as they want to be or can be. And it's a shame, but that's why education is so abundantly important on every level. And to get kids to understand about their feelings at a young age is key. You know, and that's why I love speaking to kids in, you know, as young as fourth, fifth grade. Because, when you're born with predisposed to depression, anxiety, any mental illness, I mean, there's obviously experiences of that age. We've all heard these terrible stories of very young kids, things happening.
They're getting younger.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's so very, very dire for legislation to be passed, mm-hmm. things of that nature. Movies of this caliber that your daughter put together. Did she find, when Kate was putting this movie together, that it was harder than she thought? Or, again, you mentioned certainly an appropriate word, cathartic. And was all the family on board?
I don't think it was hard for her. I think she got so into the process that she, you know, it's an art form. You know, hours and hours of editing and figuring out how to, I mean, it's really amazing what she did. As far as we're concerned, you know, we've put ourselves out there over and over again in an effort to bring about change. And the only thing I asked of Kate at the time was that we saw the film prior to its screening at NYU, because it is so incredibly personal. It is about our son. And I just wanted to make sure that I was okay with it.
In the comfort of your own home, in the privacy of your home. I mean, that's certainly nothing surprising to ask. I mean, no matter how well or not well it's done, it's about something and someone who's incredibly important to you and Rob and to your children.
Well,
and
she was so funny when she finally let me have it and let me see it. And Rob and I were home together. And
just by yourself? Did you watch it?
Yes, the kids were at school. And actually, Chad hasn't watched it in its entirety at this point. You know, kids are all different in how they handle these things. But she was so into it and so, you know, because she was into the process, the actual art of making it and the talent of making it and what went into that. You know, I said, okay, we're going to watch it right now. And she's texting me, did you finish? I'm like, Katie, hold on. Give me a minute to process what you made, because it's really amazing. But I'm blown away, you know, seeing your story play out in
on
this
screen,
video.
On a screen.
Yeah.
Your life.
Yeah.
Shot in the four walls of where you live.
Yes.
In the town.
Doesn't get any more intimate.
No, it does not. Mm. So that's interesting. Did she ask if you wanted to watch it alone, or she just kind of knew, as a person that obviously, who's a creative person, obviously, who just said, maybe you and Dad should watch it by yourselves?
Well, I was harassing her. I couldn't wait to see it, because she is so talented, and I love the whole process, and I respect it, and I understand it. And so she wouldn't get it to us quick enough. You know, she goes, oh, I want to tweak this. I'm like, just give it to me. I want to see it. So, and there it was. And it's hard to watch.
A revelation that viewers will understand when they get a chance to view this movie, my brother Jordan, is the fact that, and this is very, very commonplace, all too commonplace, another reason why we have dialogues of this caliber, is that both sides of your family, your parents and Rob's parents, are no longer aligned with the family.
No.
For different reasons, but whether it's embarrassment or the fact that they just think it's something that's taboo and don't want to be a part of this. And unfortunately, as we said before the interview today, it's one thing for you and Rob not to have a relationship with your parents or his parents. But to have five children miss out of grandparents' experience and love, that's a shame.
Yes, it's been really horrible, and it's got fallout. You know, the loss of Jordan and the loss of the grandparents, we're dealing with those issues today. It'll be 7 years for our family on Monday, and, you know, it doesn't go away. You know, people think you just kind of move on and you get more comfortable, and I can't tell you that is just not true, and especially with this kind of loss, because there's so many questions, there's guilt, and then to have our families do what they did has damaged my children terribly. But it's also, you know, Rob and I may be not as young as we used to be, but we still have parents, and we could have used parenting when we were trying to parent our children through this.
And additionally, to be a husband and wife away from your children. I mean, that's so important. Even in an ideal situation, and there's no loss or anything, you just need time away, intimacy. It's just being together, just to keep that bond, that love, that soulfulness together. Mm-hmm. And then when something of this caliber happens, I mean, it's even more important. Even if you just guys go talk, scream, yell, hold hands on the beach, say nothing, whatever, go on a vacation. I mean, grandparents are instrumental. I mean, it's like before we have kids, you're like, you want to interview the parents. Will you be there? It's like when you're on the altar, it should be like the grandparents should have to stand up, the future, you know, and say like, will you be there for vacations, long weekends, you know, grandparents' day, et cetera.
Well, I should have interviewed ours, but I didn't. So. yeah.
But if God, it's such a terrible thing to say that, unfortunately, even one set of your parents, the parents, live in your hometown.
Yes, my parents
Do
are
you bump
5 minutes
into them?
Away. I've tried very hard not to. That's my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, obviously, it's very transparent, I imagine, what you say to your kids, because you can't make something up, because it's not something you have control over.
Well, they're old enough now to realize they're so close. Yeah. You know, when they were younger, it was easier to say, well, you know, they're busy, make excuses for them.
Have they ever reached out to them?
No.
Would you advocate for them, too?
Yes.
I'm sure it's a bridge that'll be crossed at the appropriate time.
We're actually trying to work on that. It's not going well.
What kind of relationship did Jordan have with both grandparents, sets of grandparents?
He really liked Rob's parents.
Great.
And he liked mine. You know, I mean, the kids will probably tell you differently, but, well, my parents didn't talk to him for quite a while before he died. My parents are just, I shouldn't really dissect them on the radio, but there's a lot going on there.
Well, every family dynamics have, you know, a tangled web we mm-hmm. weave. And let's talk more about Jordan, because he seemed like such a lovable, awesome, creative, fun, big brother type, too. And that's something that you always want to remember, because we think people, we don't, but the taboo or stigma has people with mental illness as weak.
No,
and, but it just robs
they're strong
people.
No, because
absolutely.
They have to fight this every day.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's just sometimes when they just can't hang on to that fight sometimes, unfortunately. But in terms of the positive aspects, I mean, he was majoring in.
He didn't really know. He was kind of flip-flopping around.
More my kind of guy.
Yeah. He asked me that summer if he could run away and live in Italy, because he had gone to Italy, you know, a couple years prior, and he loved Italy. He was probably thinking political science. He didn't really know what he wanted to do. But Jordan was an amazing brother. Jordan took his spot in the family as the eldest very important. You know, it was very important and very serious. He took it very seriously. And as I think back to that summer, he was saying goodbye in his own way to each and every one of them, because he would, in particular, take time with each and every one of those kids. He would take Sean on long walks on the beach. And I can remember it all playing out. It played out right in front of my face. And I'd see it.
I and just that's thought not something Jordan, he would ordinarily
no,
do?
He, but he was. But now that I look at it, it seems more ominous. You know, now that I can see what was really, I think, going on. Hmm. He was always a good big brother. I mean, he was softer and kinder to his younger three. The top three, I called them the bigs and the littles. And then the top three were Jordan, Katie, and Jack. And they were kind of like their own posse. But he was, and they would, you know, get into it. But he was really kind with the younger ones.
And that must make your heart sing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I was an only child, so to have all these kids was a huge gift.
Oh, that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was wondering.
Yeah.
And Rob comes from a family of?
He has one sister.
Oh, okay. All right. Hence the big number there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's been awesome.
So when you displayed, or this movie was shown at NYU,
mm-hmm.
During the movie, I imagine you saw the movie, obviously, your husband. You're probably just sitting on pins and needles thinking, like, what are people thinking?
Yeah.
And no matter what the subject matter is, because, you know, your life is being projected on there. Even if it's not about your life, your daughter has produced something for the world to see. Tell me about that experience. That must have been unique.
It's weird. I've done a lot for, you know, you mentioned mm-hmm. the different things that I've done. And every time I do it, I see, you know, we put our story out there, a part of me always feels open for judgment. And I have to say that that's hard. I feel like I'm doing, the reason this all started, not Kate's film, but the stuff that I got involved with, because it was survival. You know, Rob had gone back to work, and the kids, Sean went to kindergarten, and he had gone a half day, and I just was alone in the house. And I, to this day, to this moment, I feel so afraid for potential suicide victims and their families that I feel like I have to do something. It's almost like an inner drive. But when you put your story out there and you, it's hard because you do sometimes, people are not always as nice as you think they would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And very quick to judge.
Yes, very.
But the people who, which is nice, you never think would come through really surprise
so
you.
So true.
Isn't
that
it?
Is so true. And the ones that you think are the ones that are dyed in the wool.
The shoe in.
Yeah. They're not there.
Like your parents.
Yes.
Both sets of parents.
Yes.
I mean, who would think, you know, you love your kids unconditionally, no matter what happens.
That's how I personally feel. Yeah. I can't imagine.
And it's great that when people come through, they come through. I just remember people coming through out of the woodwork. But, you know, there is that feeling of, like, Kate talks about walking your second oldest, who's closest to Jordan, who is the producer and director of the film, who unfortunately couldn't be with us today due to her very hectic new job schedule, which is awesome. Congratulations, Kate. You rock on many levels. Talks about going to school, and she had some of her classmates who were EMS or ambulance techs or whatever the jargon is, and wondering if they were at her house, your house.
Yeah.
And that's such a logical thing. When I heard her say that in the narration part of it, I'm like, wow, of course. What a logical assumption and thought. And, of course, she was thinking, well, they know. And they're looking at her going, I wonder if they know. She knows that we were in her house.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this conversation that doesn't get discussed, but it's invisible. And all the different things we talk about, like, you know, and it's very uncomfortable. You walk into rooms and people don't know how to, in death in general, our society does not know how to handle it. Send some flowers, write a check in lieu of flowers, whatever it is. But I know people who say, when I go to a wake, what do I say? You just say, listen, you know, so-and-so is a great person. I'm really sorry for you. You don't even have to say anything. Just be there for people. And if you can't do the right thing or be there, then it's after.
Yeah.
You know, that's when people come to you, Lisa, and to your husband, Rob, and probably say, I've been struggling with depression. How many times have you heard this?
Yeah.
Where I've lost somebody, or you never knew that, and people reach out to you. So there's life. I don't want to put words in front in your mouth, Lisa, but there's life with Jordan, and there's life post Jordan.
Oh, it's called before Jordan.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And there's just you know, that's the life, and that we don't welcome, but this is the reality.
Yes, it is.
And with a film like Kate has done, can really, really make a difference. As a matter of fact, you're waiting to hear if it's going to get accepted into other festivals?
Yes. She's also entered other festivals, and we're waiting. And we're waiting to see if we're all going to Hollywood in March.
So. It sounds like it's American Idol. Like, I got the paper. Yeah, I'm going to Hollywood. Fantastic.
Totally different scenario.
Yeah. What is the, I mean, she's happy with it. Kate is happy with it at this level. If it goes no further, the fact that it was just seen by your family.
Yes.
That was her goal.
Yes.
Even if it was just put in a vault and just she did it and it was cathartic and it's her ode to her big brother Jordan. And if it goes further than that, great. And obviously it has, and I'm sure it will. But the fact that even different organizations like AFSP, Samaritans, can take this and share it because
Samaritans is interested and a lot of people are interested. I think it could be a very powerful tool.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think it's I think it's relatable, but I also think it's inspirational, and I think it's important to show young people how devastating it truly is. It's not just we'll get over you. It's not the dog died.
No.
It's not anything like that. It is not a choice to make.
And there's many lines in the movie, and a lot of them have visuals, very, very, very good visuals that go along with this. But I want to play a clip that kind of encapsulates the whole vibe of this movie. And I just thought this really spoke volumes of who you guys are as a family and certainly who Kate is as a little sister to Jordan and as a blossoming movie prodigy. And this is a clip from Our Brother Jordan.
Years to get to where we are today. There's a second where we don't miss Jordan. Where we don't think about the person he would be if he was still here. Or the people we would be if he was still here. But our house is loud again. We're talking again. We're laughing again. It's nice to be home. I see Jordan in the little moments. I see him reflected in my mom's eyes, and I hear him in my dad's humor. I see him in Jack's kindness and compassion, and Rosie's musical ability, and I hear him every time she sings. I see him in Chad's wit and intelligence, and Sean's limitless creativity. I remember warm summer days where the hours seemed endless and life seemed fair. I think of his smile. I see him as the carefree kid staring back at me. And that's how I see him in myself. He was our brother, and he was loved.
It's good to be home. I love that line. So well done. I got goosebumps.
I'm so glad that my kids can feel that way again.
Yeah. It took a while to get there, though, didn't it?
Struggle. Yeah. Struggle.
You know, I was afraid. Actually, friends told me afterwards that they were afraid that I was going to go off the deep end with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did the opposite. I actually retreated because I was afraid what was going to happen to me when I drank.
Yeah.
I was afraid that not of the feelings in terms of opening up. I was more afraid about going there for a relief, for an escape. And then when I finally did, because, you know, I'm only me. Of course, I went there. And, yeah, you know, I would just get polluted. But it took a while. It took a while. And it's interesting how people, you know, do what they can to help out yourself, family member, your children, whether it's a teacher or principal. And it's also, on the flip side, interesting to see what's not done. But more on the positive side that, you know, there's so many people out there who care. And there's great organizations. And we're making great strides, which is a nice thing. It's never fast enough.
No.
I love the fact that when you see the money that's given to organizations nationally and internationally and what the actual root of the issue is or cause versus how much money and or government attention, it's sad.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's the only good that comes out of things of the nature of the Chris Cornells, their Nirvanas. I mean, you know, Janis Joplin's, I mean, all these different things is that attention gets brought to it.
Right.
But I hate when it gets certainly satirized. It's not glamorous at all.
No.
Death is death. It should never be followed. I mean, there's help. There's some. It's I remember in high school. of course, oh, yeah, you know, what is your paper going to be on? Oh, I'll do it on suicide. I remember coming up with this line. Suicide is a permanent answer to a temporary problem.
Right.
Depression. It can be a shorter battle for a lot of people. I got through it. And you can't do it alone.
No.
I know certain people choose to. And whatever works for people. But just to know that, you know, when I speak to schools, whether the youth or adult, just know that you can confide in people. And it took me forever to realize that I was afraid that, you know, once I came forward to my family that they would freak out. Oh, no. Now we have to worry about Mark.
Yes.
But then once I told them, they're like, oh, no problem. You know, mm-hmm. You know, they're concerned, but they, you know, they kept it tempered because they realized that obviously they just didn't. They knew obviously in control and we were all together and we pulled together. And certainly as your family and our family, we had to find that sweet spot,
mm-hmm.
You know, what works. And maybe some people want to talk about more than others, which I'm sure you found out about. Maybe you know when your husband wants to talk about it. Maybe he knows when you don't want to talk about it or when you can just look at each other and those looks say it all. Or when the anniversary happens in 4 days on Monday to mark the 7th year, then you know what to do. You know what would probably make Jordan happy that you're all together and that you're home again, wherever. And I tell my kids that home is wherever we are. You don't have to be in those four walls, you know, wherever the
the
tax check goes to that pays for your address. But home is wherever the family is. And Jordan is home with you guys, no matter where you are. And through that video of him on the beach and living those great summers in the beach house and being a big brother to your children is a storyline and that you'll never, ever forget. And that's obviously very close in the DNA of who you are and your husband and certainly the film. And it's going to continue to impact people. And that just makes me happy and is difficult and sometimes gut-wrenching, I'm sure, as it is for you. It must make you happy as well.
Absolutely.
Well, special thanks to Kate. And we really wish Kate all the best in her incredible, incredible career that's happening for her as a... Does she want to make movies?
I don't know what she wants to do yet. We'll see.
We're just paying off college loans right now.
Yeah.
Kate Sprague, thank you so much for your incredible work on Our Brother Jordan. Is that going to be available down the road?
So far, it's private.
That's
on Facebook. If someone wants to see it, I'll give them the password.
Okay. Should we give out your last name spelling?
Sure.
Sprague. Sprague. First name, Lisa. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for your time. If you'd like to have me at your school, college, camp, whatever, I'd be happy to come speak at your organization. MarkFarrellMotivation.com. MarkFarrellMotivation.com. Have a great day. It's Friday Eve. Enjoy. Thank you to Jesse and Kelsey. Bye-bye.